bring the meeting to order?
We're going to bring the meeting to order. Madam Clerk, can you determine a quorum, please?
We do have a quorum with all members present.
Thank you. Who is reading the board goals tonight?
I am.
Mr. Larson.
Matt Seuss, Susitna Borough School District, vision, mission, beliefs, values, goals, and objectives. Vision, Matsu Borough School District will be a model of excellence in teaching, learning, and engaging all students. Mission, Matsu Borough School District prepares students for success. Beliefs, we believe that all students can and want to learn. Success breeds success. The needs and the best interest of students drive all decision. Stakeholders' participation is crucial to student success. Core values, stewardship, accountability, empathy, quality, integrity, efficiency, respect, and lack of reprisal. Goals. We will improve student success, achievement, and performance by focusing on their career and college readiness. We will increase the graduation rate. Our schools will welcome families and community members in the education of our youth. We will create and maintain a safe and healthy environment for our students and staff. Annual objectives and accountability. Assets by quality, metrics, and timelines. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to ask our newest member of the board, Delaney Mitchell, to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thank you. This takes us down to item two, which is approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I move to approve the agenda as presented.
I'll second it.
Motion has been moved by Member Cordero, seconded by Member Lacey. I'm asking unanimous consent. Is there any dissent? With that, agenda has been approved. This takes us down to item three, persons to be heard on non-agenda items. Once again, I'll read the guidelines. Speaker states his or her name for the record. The speaker is limited to 3 minutes per meeting. The speaker is limited to non-agenda items. Agenda items will be open for the public comment as they appear on the agenda. The speaker's comments should be appropriate for all audiences, including school-age children. The speaker is limited to comments of a general nature, positive or negative, which may not be attributable to any specific individual. Issues involving concerns specific to any single individual should be submitted in writing and given to the board clerk to be resolved. The issue may be determined to be appropriate for persons to be heard or may be handled in an executive session or may be routed through a more appropriate complaint process. No disturbance or willful interruption of any board meeting shall be permitted. Persistence by an individual or group shall be grounds for the chair to terminate the privilege of addressing the meeting. The board may remove disruptive individuals and order the room cleared if necessary. This is not a question and answer time. Speakers may be referred to the superintendent or designee or take the issue under advisement. Maximum of 1 hour per meeting. Madam Clerk, is any individual signed up to speak? No one has signed up. For those that have come in a little late, is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak at this time on the non-agenda items? Please come forward, state your name for the record. And remember, it'll be 3 minutes.
Well, it won't be 3 minutes. My name's Lynette Warhus, and I just wanted to say hi to everybody here because I'm running for school board, and I haven't been to a meeting since I've decided to run, so I thought I would come and say hi. That's all it is. Thank you.
Thank you. This takes us down to item four. Superintendent Paramo, are there any borough and city reports? I see one coming. Please state your name for the record and who you represent. You have 5 minutes.
Okay. I promise not to be that long.
Thank you.
My name is Bert Cottle, City of Wasilla. On the agenda coming up as action item 12030 on your October 19th meeting, Resolution number 12.002 is a land transfer request from the city of Wasilla for a new Wasilla City Library. And I just want to plug it every time I can now, between now and then. I hope you have time to read it. If you have any questions, give us a call. Price tag we're looking at is approximately $14 million. The library we have now on a yearly thoroughfare or user is just over 97,000 users. And we have 16 parking spots. So you can imagine where we're at. And I think most of you are familiar with where we're coming from. So politically, you're our first board. Once it's approved by this, we're assuming it will be approved, we would go on to the borough next to ask for their permission, because in the scheme of things, I guess it is their land technically. So we'll go there next. So, but the price tag we're looking at is approximately $14 million. So if you have any questions, you can get free to give us a call. So we'll be back on your 19th meeting, and I have the Friends of the Library Board, I'm sure, will be here to also speak on behalf of that then. So thank you.
Thank you. Are there any additional reports from any borough or city? Seeing none, this takes us down to item 5, administrative reports. Dr. Perarmo.
Mr. President, there are no administrative reports this evening.
Thank you. This takes us down to item 6, superintendent update. Student advisory board report. Once again, Delaney Mitchell is our new student advisor. Delaney, do you want to say a few words, or do you have a report at this time?
Okay, today student advisory board met at Sioux Valley High School, and on our agenda today we discussed Red Ribbon Week as one of our upcoming events. We had discussion about 7-period day and about busing and transportation. We are looking at different options for kids who are unhappy with 7-period day and things that we want to talk to the board about, and that was our main topic. So thank you.
We look forward to hearing more from you throughout the year, and you will be getting your agenda once again in time to be able to give us an advisory board vote starting at the next meeting. Dr. Perarmo.
Thank you, Mr. President. I do have 3 items to update you on. The first one is enrollment. The second, Mount Sioux Central School, and the third, specials at elementary brief report. Coming around now is the official worksheet of the daily count for Mount Sioux Borough School District. I'm just going to point out some items, and then you would certainly have this document to review at another time. If you look at the last 2 columns, it's the school name again and the difference. Please know that all the way at the very bottom, 39.5 students, that's 39.5 FTE under projection. And again, this year projection was 17,409 students. That gives us, we're off on our projection at this point in time. However, true count hasn't happened, but by 1/4, short under 1/4 of a percent, difference. So we have, I guess, our department that does our demographics certainly should bring some confidence that those folks are very good at what they do. Again, the most difficult grade level to project is, of course, kindergarten, and we use live birth data for that. The places in which we are under, I'd like to point out Mount Sioux Central School. However, Mount Sioux Central School, please note that they continue to enroll, and their largest enrollment does happen in September, October. We projected Mount Sioux Central School to be 80 more this year than last to assist in covering their new lease of their new building. And so they are well on their way to make that, and Principal Brown is very confident. At the very bottom, another item to notice that's an outlier is that the projections for charter schools are actually under. So of that 39.5%, the largest areas in which we are under were Mount Sioux Central and then our projection on charter schools. The largest portion of that is American Charter Academy, and they do expect to pick students up at a later date. So we have healthy projections. Remember, count starts the end of this month and into October, so until October 20th. So we are rectifying our numbers, but I wanted to give you an update that it is looking good. Yes, I have another update is on Mat-Su Central School. I talked about their enrollment, but please know that we are moving forward and have looked at the state level to allow students who do not live in Mat-Su Borough to attend our Mat-Su Central School. At this time, it's just a small number. We've had some students who were enrolled in Mat-Su who moved away into Anchorage and want to continue. Knowing that our quest to get full funding as a district school, we received feedback that that's probably not going to happen, and so we would like to entertain the idea of allowing students who want to continue with us to remain with Mat-Su. If systems all work out, we would come to the board and discuss the possibility of being a statewide, rather, correspondence homeschool. And again, we're starting small with getting our systems in order, but would move towards that. And I've worked with Principal Brown with some ideas of including preschools, including online cyber learning across the state, as well as he had three big ideas in order to incorporate to really help us out. But we would target areas local to us, not really bush areas.
Any questions from members of the board? Member Gaddis.
Yes, I just have a quick question. How does this cyber school or Mat-Su Central, do kids that do an exchange student, I mean, that's been a thing in the past where when kids will do exchange and will go to some foreign country, can they still take advantage of Mat-Su Central?
Actually, they do not in official capacity for our ADM. Mm-hmm. Our average daily membership, but we do assist them. We have a student actually from Palmer High School who is on an exchange and is giving services. So not for the count, but we actually do assist students with their education.
So that they can actually take the courses that they take somewhere else, they can actually get credit in the Mat-Su School District? Is that what you're saying by assist?
Just to keep them up on their grades is how we're assisting them. But there is a potential. We have other credit options that travel. We can translate back in. But some of the courses that students take in other countries, because it sometimes is out of their language,
right,
they're taking the lowest level courses in which they already have credit. So they're retaking. If I go to Spain, I might retake Algebra 1, but I already took Algebra 1. So it's more for the experience. So we give elective credits.
Oh, okay. So they do get something.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Any other questions from members of the board? Seeing none. I'm sorry.
Sir, finally.
Continue.
One last update. I wanted you, at the last board meeting, comments came up in regard to elementary specials. And so I wanted to look into that. And I have a report that I'm going to share, explain it, but then you could really digest the information and then request more in a bit. You will see each school listed. And interesting caveats in these data. We provide the minutes of PE per week per elementary school, minutes of music per week, and minutes of library. But in our investigation into the specials at elementary school, and if you recall, there was a comment in regard to concern over not having PE, we did see that our schools do still continue to have PE, music, and library programs. But we also found out that they now have structured technology and art programs, many of them. So we had 100 teachers less in our district this year. And so therefore, you know, at the secondary level, we went to 7 per day. Elementary level, we really worked with specials on ratios to be able to continue to have programs. And they do look different. And we are learning how to work through them to make them the best. But it seems as though there's some creative out-of-the-box thinking on some schools to be able to actually offer more specials and more opportunities for children at the elementary level. When we investigated, some of the concerns that remain are the professional development of the folks in the positions. So particularly for library and PE, those are two areas in which a teacher does not have to be highly qualified. So a certified teacher can teach PE, and a certified teacher can operate a library. And in fact, only 33% of MATSU librarians last year actually had a media specialist degree. So it's very difficult to get a media specialist degree in Alaska, and that's probably why. But the concern from staff is that the programs won't have fidelity, if you will, to them. So we, you'll see in your packet on the consent agenda, we are interested in hiring a retired librarian to do that training with the new librarians. And the same for PE. Mr. McPhail is working on some of our top-notch PE teachers in elementary school to train other folks that are now teaching PE. So those are the bumps, but as you can see, those programs do remain. You might notice that our smallest schools have the most time in those specials, and please know that small schools were not part of the ratios. We pretty much left small schools alone. And so if you take a look, Talkeetna, Trapper Creek, those schools, they have more access to specials because they were not cut back. But a lot of those folks teach something else as well. So with that, that's the conclusion of my report on enrollment, MATSU Central School, and specials in the elementary. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Member Larson.
The new position that you talked about for a librarian, it's a 0.25 FTE. Is that correct?
And what
are they going to be doing? I mean...
Okay, position would be to train and professionally develop the other teachers in the library, and also to assist in the ordering of the books, which takes a long time. We want to be sure that our systems are up to snuff with libraries outside of the schools, because we're all connected to the same system. So that is really the technological administrative parts she's going to assist with in the training. The staff in there know how to teach library skills, but it's the upkeep of the library that they're going to work on.
And you're going to be able to do that with a 0.25?
I'd have to look and see. Yes, that we spoke with this person, and yes. That's our goal.
Any questions? Any additional questions? Seeing none, thank you very much. This takes us down to item 7, consent agenda. Is there a motion to move the agenda?
I move to approve the consent agenda. Item A, minutes of September 7th, 2011. Item B, 12-031, recommendation for certified new hires. Item C, 12-032, recommendation for retired rehires. Item D, 12-033, high school graduation qualifying exam waivers.
I'll second.
Motion has been moved by Member Welton, seconded by Member Cordero. Is there any Member Welton?
For clarification, we received another notice of the extra numbers of students that will meet that qualification for the waiver.
You all have that?
All right. Just notice.
Okay. Motion has been moved. It's on the floor. Is there any dissent to move the consent agenda forward? Seeing none, consent agenda passes unanimously. This takes us down to item 8, action items. First action item is A, 12-025, second reading, BP-9310, policy manual. Are there any members of the public that wish to speak upon this item? Seeing none, is there a staff report?
Mr. President, we are prepared to answer questions if needed.
Are there any questions by members of the board for staff? Seeing none, is there a motion to move this item?
I move 12-025, second reading, board policy 9310, policy manual.
Motion moved by Member Cordero. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Member Lacey. Are there any board comments? Seeing none, let's vote. Motion passes. It's unanimous. This takes us down to item B, 12-027, MATSU Central School course materials approval. Is there a motion to move this item?
I move 12-027, MATSU Central School course material approval.
Motion moved by Member Cordero. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Motion is seconded by Member Lacey. Are there any board, are there any members of the public that would like to speak upon this item? Seeing none, is there a staff report?
We're prepared to answer questions, Mr. President.
Are there any questions for members of the board for staff? Seeing none, are there any board comments? Seeing none, motion has been moved. Let's vote. Motion passes. It's unanimous. This takes us down to item C, resolutions, 12-012 AASB resolutions. Is there a motion to move this item? Are there any members of the public that would like to speak upon this item? Seeing none, is there a staff report?
No, sir. We are prepared to answer questions.
Is there a motion to move this to the floor for consideration?
I make a motion that we move 12-012 AASB resolution.
Motion is moved by Member Lacey.
Second it.
Seconded by Member Welton. Motion is on the floor. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Yes, the question is, are we going to bring these up one by one? And I think we should. And I would ask that the committee lead in that process for the board. So we'll be discussing each of these resolutions that were under consideration by the committee and brought forward at the last meeting will be brought forward for discussion and final consideration today. Member Gaddis?
Okay, well, I'll start by leading then. Myself, Susan Poucher, and Sarah Welton were part of the committee, and we didn't always agree, and we put things forward, and we hope that you've been able to look at it, and I think that we'll start out one by one and
make a motion to amend. You would make a motion to amend?
Versus, oh, you mean versus just accepting them all? I guess that is in order.
Or either way, if you want to accept them all.
Yeah, I would like to make a motion to amend so that we can look at them one by one and accept or not accept them on a one-by-one basis.
There's a motion on the floor by Member Gaddis to amend item C, 12-012 AASB resolution, and that is to amend so that each of the items that were under consideration can be discussed individually and thus voted upon individually. So there's a motion by Member Gaddis. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Member Poucher. Is there any dissent? Seeing none. So we'll bring each of these items forward one by one. And once again, if Member Gaddis or Member Welton would like to lead in this.
Okay, well, the first one is on page 10, 1.4, maintaining local control of charter school formation. And we did get feedback from the district. And is this blueprint the district's feedback?
Mm-hmm.
And essentially states each state provides governance of charters in different ways. As a district in Alaska, Mat-Su Borough School District works with charter schools in the spirit of choice for families residing within the borough. The district continues to use a model of local control that works to the benefit of charters and the district as a whole. This question was asked of charters. Would they prefer a state authorizer? Presently, this charters felt remaining within the local control of the Mat-Su School Board is a good place to be. That was the district's take on this particular question of maintaining local control of charter school formation. The AASB. Sarah, do you have it handy? Their resolution was?
It's in our packet, but I don't have the page number. I didn't put it in because it was in here, page 10. But may I?
Member Walton.
So what we will be doing is saying whether we support or not support the item brought forward, because what we will do in the end is support the whole resolution packet, except for those that we
pull out.
Yeah, that we pull out. So,
excuse me. Can you restate that last half a sentence?
The amendment is to support the item if we don't support the item, then the AASB resolutions, we vote as a board to support them, except for those items that we have as a board, the majority of the board says no.
I need clarification, may I ask, for the committee? It was my understanding there's a lot of resolutions that AASB has put forth. Some are sunsetting, some are new, some are in motion. It was my understanding that the committee elected to pull some for our consideration, but those that were not pulled, we are not taking action on. Is that correct?
No.
That was my understanding as well. We pulled the ones that we felt were important.
Okay, because I thought I could be wrong, but I thought I heard that if we don't, those that are going or staying in the packet, we tactically approve? Tacitly? Sorry.
That it was my understanding because we put it out, the committee put it out. If anybody wanted anything pulled or there was discussion about something, they were to do that, and we did that in the work session, and nobody wanted anything else pulled. I believe that we can do whatever we want here, though if you want to pull some other things, then we can. We were trying to streamline the operation.
Right. It just, that was not my understanding. And we'll talk about that. Member Cordero?
Yeah, my understanding from the last meeting, too, was that the items that were not on the list were items that the board didn't feel that we even needed to send back to AASB as support. And my understanding was that the committee's items on the list were the ones that we will either support or not support, but the rest we're just going to completely ignore. That was my understanding, too.
That certainly was mine as well.
That was my understanding.
My understanding was that we would support all of the resolutions except for those that we as a board were not.
Member Powers, you were on the committee.
Usually what happens is when we go to the AASB meetings, each one of these is brought up for consideration. If no school board pulls them or wants to talk about them, they're just passed as remaining on the list. So unless we bring something up and say our school board would like this changed or we don't support this, it isn't even discussed. It just remains on AASB's docket.
Member Walton.
My understanding is that if we do not pull anything and do not vote it down, that it is a support of what AASB is doing. That has been my understanding since I've been on the board.
Member Gaddis.
And as a new board member, having been on only a year, I don't know what the past history was, but I do know that when we conferred, we were pulling the things either we agreed or disagreed with. And so it would be my contention that what we vote on tonight is what either goes forward or doesn't go forward. I really would struggle with the fact of just blanketly voting on everything going through. I don't think we gave it the attention, the whole board. So
that Member Larson?
Last year when we went through this, there's like 122 resolutions, and we really didn't even address them, and they just went forward and went on to the floor. If we wanted to go through 122 resolutions, it would take us all night, and these are just resolutions. And the ones that I understand we polled are the ones that some board member or on the committee had an issue with. And so we're going to deal if we want that particular resolution to go forward or not. The rest of them are just non-items, I guess. Like Susan said, or Ms. Poucher says, they go to AASB and they either are not voted up or down or just stay on their resolution roles to deal on if they ever get around to them.
Member Gaddis.
I remember one of the issues that we discussed is there are issues that are specific to Bush schools, and I know that we said we're not going to make a resolution or vote it up or down. It's really, it's not something that's our business, and we didn't want to get into somebody else's. So, again, I would say that the 120-some-odd resolutions, that we not vote for it and we not vote against it. We just, it's not part of our resolutions that we're bringing forward.
Member Welton.
Well, I don't want to hog the floor here, but the point of having the resolutions is as AASB, the whole statewide organization, says we, as the boards of all of our different communities, support even those that are Bush schools and the big schools and schools that you know, have different things than we have, because we want what's best for the state and all of our kids. And so my understanding, and again, I'll reiterate that the resolutions, normally we pass the whole package, and then if there's something to pull out, we've pulled it out. And we either support or don't support that particular one. The others just move on, and we you know, it is a blessing kind of passing it.
If the board agreed, I think what might help with this process for everybody is if we go through each of the items that we have pulled and we take a position on those items, then someone could amend this motion to go back and say that those items that were not pulled, we approve as a board or we don't, and then we can vote on that. Would that take care of the issue? Okay, so let's go through each of these items individually. And once again, we're on the one that's on page 10, 1.4, maintaining local control of charter school formation. We got a little bit of a background. Do we need some more background on that before we call for a vote on that particular resolution? And once again, Member Welton is correct. If we vote for this, this means we support this. If it's a no vote, it means we do not, and that would go on the record.
To clarify, the AASB resolution says they want to have the maintain of local control.
Yes.
And so you would be voting support of that or non-support of that.
Yes. Are there any board members have questions or want to clarify this particular item before we bring it to a vote? Okay, with that, we're going to vote on our first item that falls under 12C 12-012 ASB resolutions, and this will be 1.4 on page 10, maintaining local control of charter school formation. Somebody want to make a motion to bring that to a vote? It's on the floor already, I'm sorry. No more discussion? Okay, so let's vote. So if we vote yes, we're voting to support the maintaining of local control of charter school formation. If we vote no, we're voting against it. So let us vote. Somebody did not vote. Okay. The vote is 4-3. That motion passes. So let's go to the next item. Next item is school vouchers, 1.5. Is there a member of the committee that would like to discuss this item that is now on the floor?
Bring it to the floor. I would bring it to the floor before discussing it.
Okay. Is there a motion to bring this item to the floor?
I move to bring the discussion or to bring the vote for school vouchers as per AASB's resolution to not support them.
Is there a second? Member Walton makes the move. It's seconded by Member Powager. Seeing no dissent, this item is on the floor. Okay, so it's open for discussion. Member Welton.
AASB has taken a stand to not support the vouchers, and I have a list of reasons why I believe that that's a good thing, to not support vouchers. And I won't read the four pages that I have here. I'll read a couple of them. There's real feeling that it would undermine religious liberty. 76% of private schools that have religious affiliation in the United States, that's from the Department of Education. And I believe that giving public money to religious education, I don't care how you separate out whether it's religious or not, money that goes to a religious entity will be spent for either in supplanting their usual monies that they would give to education, supplanting it, and then therefore would allow them to use other monies to do their religious education and outreach and evangelism. And that would be any religious group. And I cannot agree with going down that road. I believe that while some of the measures that have been put forth about vouchers talk about how they would have to be accountable, they would have to do all these things, I think it opens the door to allowing things to be unequal and to making it so that there is no control. It's public schools. We have public control, and I do want to keep it that way. The evidence shows that there's vouchers don't help the poor people, and they've also said that it actually harms what's left of the public schools. Vouchers can lead down the road to the separation of those that have special needs to not be in the private schools, and that you know, there can be some discrimination. Even if we have all the measures in place, I think that it opens it up to that. And I am adamantly opposed to public money going to private schools, because public schools are public schools. If you're going to take away the money out of the public schools, you are not supporting public schools.
Is there any other board members that would like to comment on this item? And anyway, is there another? Member Pauger.
I'm in the middle on this. When I first started thinking about it, I thought, well, I'm not so much for that. Talked to a few friends. They, you know, talked to quite a few people, and many people think it's a really good idea. And I was kind of, you know, I'm back and forth on it. But I talked to a principal of a private school. That principal said that they would not be accepting vouchers. If you receive public money, along with that public money comes the public, comes the bureaucracy, comes all of the rules. If you accept public money, then you accept all of those public rules. And by that, you totally defeat your private school. You're a public school now. So I don't think very many private schools will be really going after these vouchers. I don't really feel strongly one way or the other, but I don't think it's a good idea.
Member Larson.
This resolution is just like the last resolution. It's just a resolution, but it has no meat behind it. Like maintaining local charter schools, I mean, there was no plan, the what-if plan, you know, or the, you know, if that one would have gone through, would the teachers and principals there be in their own union, or would they change unions, or they would come back, would they destroy the charter school? There's no plan set. And with the same thing with the vouchers, for instance, doing the research I did and talking to people both on both sides, would the ground rules be there, what Member Pauchers talked about, for the private schools? In other words, would they have to be NCLB fall into that category because they're accepting public schools? Would they accept special needs kids? Or would they? Would most of the parents have the wherewithal to know what to do with a voucher? I think our district is open borders, so you know, virtually you can go to practically any school you want to. You just have to transportation. But getting into the private schools, would you have the private schools nationally on the same playing field. And that's what the question is. Would the state then say that if you accept a voucher as a private school, you would have to fall under the same criteria as a public school? And there's a lot of questions like that. As I did a lot of research, I looked on both sides, and we don't have a plan. All we have is an idea. And the borough and the state have had a lot of ideas in the last 30-some-odd years I've been in the state that they create things, and all of a sudden it just falls down like the, I'll just pick one, the wheat and the Valdez when they built the
grain silos.
You know, what I would like to be able to vote on something like this is actually have it set in place with a plan saying this is good for kids. Is it good for kids? I don't have that answer. Just like the first one. Was it good for kids to have an independent charter with a state run instead of a local control? I don't have that answer. I got too many questions. So, you know, I can't see supporting something. I have too many questions. It's too much in the fog, and we don't need grain elevators in our school district. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members of the board that would like to comment on this item? I'm seeing none. Oh, thank you. Member Cordero.
Just a brief one. I'm glad that many have made some research, and I would like to encourage all of you to look at what Sweden has done. The whole country operates on vouchers, and they have a very successful program for probably about 2 decades now, and it's working out, and the kids are doing really well. My personal experience being a member of the Hispanic community and working with very poor minorities in Alaska and throughout the country is that it tends to be that very poor minorities in the country are actually the first ones to support a voucher program, especially in cities where, I'm not talking about Alaska, but just in general terms, especially in the big cities where you have neighborhoods that are suffering or there are schools that have been failing. Those are the first people who support vouchers, and actually the results have been pretty good. I believe in Ohio, Wisconsin, Florida, Washington, D.C., the results have been pretty high. And so I would just like to encourage all of you to not just look at one research or one set of talking points, but actually maybe look at some of the states that have vouchers and scholarship programs and look at those results, because you'll be surprised, they're pretty good. And so who am I to limit what choices in education we have for our kids? I was given the opportunity by my parents to come here. I experienced private school, homeschool, and public school, and, you know, who am I to make those choices for somebody else? If it's good for kids and it gives them the opportunity to be successful, I will support any kind of education that does that. So,
okay. Any other board members that would like to speak upon this issue? I'll just offer a comment. These, in my opinion, these resolutions are indicative of a system in distress. When you have to prevent people from a choice and lock them into a system, your system is really never going to change. It has no reason to change. Because if we can hold people captive to a particular way of doing things by law, and they can't, there's no escape valve except maybe going totally out of the system to a private or Christian school, then we don't have to change. But if you have competitive models and if you have choice, which we do across society in this country, more often than not, good things happen. Is there a messy period when you're transitioning and things are opened up? Yes, but Alaska is probably one of the most competitive, innovative, adverse states in the country when it comes to education. If you look at any state across the country, from New Jersey to Colorado to Minnesota, they have multiple means to educate their kids. They're not afraid to educate their kids in different means. But for some reason, Alaska, a long time ago, decided that there's only one way to do things in education. And I agree with Member Cordero. As a parent of three daughters that have gone through this system and other systems, I want to be able to make the best choices for my kids, and not every child is a cookie-cutter child. We're not all the same. We have different ways of learning, and I think there's different environments that help kids, and there's other environments that may not. But I don't know what we, and when I say we, I don't mean the school board, but we as a system, I'm not sure what we're afraid of. If vouchers aren't that good, or if non-locally controlled charter schools are not that good, they won't work. And this system will be the best system. But until we give that a chance, we'll never know. There's two board members that have not spoken, but seeing none, we're going to move this to a vote. Member Gaddis?
Well, I'll be one of those two that haven't. Basically, I would like to agree also with Board Member Cordero, and that is to interject a change and interject competition. I like the fact that the school district said they're not afraid of competition. They feel that on a level playing field, and I think that's the key word here is level playing field, that they think that they can meet or beat it. So I'm excited that even our school district says, bring it on. So I am for interjecting competition into our schools.
Yeah. Once again, the motion, I'm going to clarify the motion. We just got to make sure. On 1.5 school vouchers, AESB is opposed to vouchers. So a yes vote would support AESB's position. We just want to make sure that we understand that. A no vote would oppose AESB's position, which would, in essence, support vouchers or allow them to happen. So AESB's position is to not allow vouchers, so a yes vote in support of that would be to support that position. Are we ready for a vote? So let us vote. The motion fails, so we do not. Motion fails 4-3, so this school board's position is to not support this particular AESB resolution. This takes us on to 1.6, centralized treasury distribution of allocated funds for schools and interest earned. Is there a committee member that would like to take the lead in this? Member Welton.
This one is one that I don't think that we have opposition to, but I'll bring it forward because we talked about it. I move to support the centralized treasury distribution of allocated funds for schools and interest earned.
Motion moved by Member Welton. Is there a second?
Second
by Member Pollager. Motion's on the floor. And once again, Committee Member Welton, you want to speak to this?
The reason that it was brought up, I think that most of us agree that this is a good thing, is to just put that at the top of our, or one of the tops of our list. There's a couple other in here that I think that we will also just say these are the ones we really support and would like you to move on. And this is one that I would say that to. Maybe we need to make an amendment to this to say this is something that we really want to push. And I don't know whether we can do that or not. That we would like for the legislature to look at creating that for us. And it's on page 10. And if I need to amend it, I can.
Member Pauser.
I just wanted to read it for people in the audience who might not have that. It's 1.6, centralized treasury distribution of allocated funds for schools and interest earns. It says AASB urges the legislators and local governing bodies to assure that all designated funds directed to school districts, including interest earned related hereto, must go to the school districts without penalty, and that all interest on school district funds must accrue to the school district. The reason we pulled that is because we do have a central treasury here in the borough, and so we pulled that because that's
we don't have a central.
The borough has and accrues the funds. So that's why we pulled this. It's something of interest to us.
Member Larson.
I remember asking this question, but I don't remember the answer. Do they charge us an administrative fee to handle the money? I believe they do, don't they?
Superintendent?
Through the president, they do charge administrative fees on grants. However, on money that is flow through for operating fund, they just keep the interest. But grants have a 5%, and that's about a third of our money.
Who is they?
The borough of Mat-Su.
So are we talking about not only flow through for the state, but and the borough and grants on this resolution?
This does not include grants. It doesn't speak to grants. This speaks on a centralized treasury in which the Mat-Su borough receives the interest.
I guess the point I'm getting at is what we're trying to do is be our own treasury. All the money would flow through. We would handle it all. And I would assume grants would also be involved in that and would not go through the borough.
It's my understanding when I read this, it's not saying we're going to be this centralized treasury. It's just that we're getting all the money from the state legislature that was intended for our school district to flow to come to our school district, whether it goes through the borough or not. In other words, if there's fees or interest or holdbacks or whatever don't occur, that if the legislature approves a dollar for the Mat-Su Borough School District, the Mat-Su Borough School District gets a dollar, not 90 cents or 87 cents. Plus interest earned.
My read on it would be then we would be the centralized treasury, not the borough.
No.
So we would still ask them to write checks and send money, that type of thing.
Just for clarification, this is a very good question. Superintendent Perarmo, do you or do you have staff that would like to speak upon that issue so that we're all clear?
Yes. I'd like to call up our CFO, Terry Irwin, please.
Thank you. And you understand the question?
Yep.
Thank you. Yes.
Everybody's got it a little bit right. The borough does have a central treasury where they keep the cash. All of the funds that come through any funding source go through the borough. As Dr. Promo said, in some instances, if it's money from the state, they take an indirect. If it's money from legislative appropriations, they actually keep an administrative fee on top of that. We write our own checks. We have our, if you will, there are two checking accounts. We have one and the borough has one. We reconcile monthly with the borough, but they don't cut any of our checks other than the bonds. We do all the work. We process all the paperwork. We send it over to the borough, and then they cut those checks for anything related to bond funds.
Member Powger.
I was wondering, just a round figure, about what is the interest a year that they keep and the 5% grants, any idea?
I have no idea on the interest. We've never had it. It was kind of a moot point, so we didn't even cry over spilt milk, if you will, that it wasn't ours. It's just never anything that we've calculated that I'm aware of.
Is it thousands of dollars?
Well, when you think about we have about $245 million, it could be a substantial amount of money.
Member Lacey.
Even though the interest rates are pretty low, they have been for a while. In prior years, it would have been a pretty good amount.
Do we know what the percentage rate is?
Of the interest rate of what they keep? No. They have a pooled amount of money. I mean, they have a lot of their funds in various pots, if you will. They have CDs. They have it invested in, I'm sure, bonds and U.S. Treasuries. So I have no idea what that rate would be.
I'm just kind of worried that the borough takes all of our money and we have children that are not getting preschool. We don't have nurses in a lot of schools or librarians, and they're kind of sitting there, me and Mr. Moneybags. But maybe this is something we should take up in future meetings.
Thank you. Any other questions for Member Larson?
This resolution won't affect the fact that there's a fee to handle the money, correct? from the borough?
No, this would, well, it's a...
They'll still have that, correct?
Yes. But this resolution, really, like you've said, doesn't provide any information of how we would get from point A to point B. And just for clarification, here it says, as fiscally independent districts, they would be separate political subdivisions of the state, not boroughs. I don't think that's a correct statement. We are a political subdivision of the state, I mean of the borough, and we are a borough school district. We could not be a state. If we were a state school district, we'd have to be a city school district or an REAA, some other organization. We are a borough school district, so that wouldn't, we couldn't do that.
Member Larson.
So this resolution is just virtually saying we would like to enter stuff.
We would like to keep our own money.
And everything else stays status quo.
Correct.
One quick question. Do we negotiate how much fees that they take out, or do they just...
And it's a random amount depending on what it is. The interest is a whole separate ballgame, but the fees that they keep on bond projects and on legislative appropriations tends to vary depending on the amount of the project.
And they take no fees out of the general fund? To handle the general fund.
Not fees, they keep the interest.
Just interest.
Thank you. So, once again, a yes vote would support AESB's position that we get, for lack of a better phrase, all the money. So there's a motion on the floor. Are there any more questions regarding this? Seeing none, if a yes vote is we agree with AESB that get all the money. So let's go ahead and vote. It's unanimous. Thank you. This takes us to... Yes, thank you. Wrapped all around here. This takes us to resolution on page 11, 1.8, accountability and advocacy for students outside the school system. Sorry. Is there any committee member that would like to bring this to the floor? Bring this to the floor.
Sure. I'd like to make a motion to bring accountability and advocacy for students outside the public school system to the floor.
Motion made by Member Gaddis.
I'll second.
Seconded by Member Pollager. The item is on the floor for discussion. Is there a member that would like to lead a discussion? Member Gaddis.
Yes, I'd like to make a statement that... we're a public school district, and going outside of our public school district and far-reaching into the potentially private schools or the independent homeschoolers, I think that, you know, we have enough work to do within our own school district. So I would be voting no, not supporting AASB's resolution.
Member Pollager, then Member Larson.
The reason this was pulled is because... among the committee members, we talked, and I can't remember if all of us or just some of us believe that we really don't need to spend public dollars on getting homeschoolers and other people in line. We need to spend our public dollars on educating our students. So I was against this, too.
Member Larson.
I guess the question is staff. If this was to pass through and this actually happened, who would be administering the test and overseeing the... I'm sorry.
No, I was...
Can you answer the question?
Superintendent Palmer will.
That's fine.
Through the president, it would be similar to your other statements. There is not a plan.
No plan. Okay. What do you think would happen?
Through the president, I'd have to come up with a plan as a superintendent.
Good one. Member Welton.
I just, I'm not supporting this, but I do want to explain the intent of AASB, at least from the past. What I've heard is that what happens is that the public school ends up with many students who are, quote unquote, homeschooled outside of a homeschool system, who have absolutely no evidence of ever being taught or being taught poorly, and it drags down the whole system. And you know, we've talked about how students show up and they're in the ninth grade and they have no reading ability, or it's so limited that there's no way they can comprehend the ninth grade level. And that was the intent for this, is that there would be some kind of way to be accountable for those who do homeschool and then decide that they can't school their child anymore and the child ends up in our system. Many, many people who homeschool their children outside of the system do an excellent job. I have seen it. I know it. But there are also those that say they're homeschooling and there's no curriculum and there's nothing there. And that's why they put it in here. I don't believe that it's possible to do this unless we're giving them public money through vouchers.
Thank you. Other board members? Member Lacey.
I'm not going to support this one because it's another case of government reaching into my back pocket and telling me what to do. If you want to homeschool your child, that's fine. But and it's going to be up to the parent to make sure that that child is up to speed with the rest of his classmates. But I don't think we should demand this.
Thank you. Any other board members? I'll just make a quick comment. Again, this is just another indicator of a system that is scared. We're going to reach outside the system and make sure that folks that want to educate their kids outside the system, we kind of have a, we make it an issue. I think we have enough work within our system than to start looking outside of our system and telling others how to educate their kids, whether they're in Christian schools or Catholic schools or homeschool or this school. I think once we get our own system in order and things are working really well, these will become non-issues because everyone will want to come to our system. But until we do that, there's going to be people that want to leave our system, and I think they should be able to leave if they want and educate their kids in their own manner, in the manner they see fit. So I, too, will be voting no. So are there any other comments? Mr. Larson. Member Larson.
Would you clarify the vote, please?
The vote, if we vote yes, we are supporting AESB's resolution that Dr. Perumer said, there'd be some plan that would force the state to hold people outside the system accountable. How you define that, what it looks like, I guess that would remain to be discussed and seen. So if we vote for this, this means we support AESB's resolution to somehow hold those outside of the system accountable. A no vote would mean we don't agree with this for a multitude of reasons I've heard. You're welcome. So with that, let us vote. A yes vote is supporting it. A no vote is not supporting this. It's unanimous. It's a no vote. This takes us down to page 12, 1.9 compulsory attendance law. Is there a motion to move this item forward?
I'd like to move item 1.9, compulsory attendance law.
Motion is moved by Member Pauscher. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Member Gaddis. Is there a member of the committee that would like to take the lead on this item? Member Gaddis, thank you.
We're having a tough enough time keeping 16-year-olds in. Why would we, our legislature tried it this last year, and it failed as well. I think that we need to work on improving our schools and wanting kids to stay in school, not forcing them to stay in till age 18. So we don't have a truancy. We're not able to even keep 16-year-olds by force. So I think this is silly. I won't be voting for it.
Member Cordero.
I understand that one of our senators is really advocating for this issue, but personally, I think it's, and I don't mean to offend anyone, but I think it's absurd. So, no.
Member Larson.
If a 15-year-old drops out of school today, in the age of 16, what happens?
Dr. Perarmo?
Through the president, that would be reported. We would do our best to locate, you know, the child. However, if the parent decides to educate the child at home, nothing would happen. It's a choice.
May I follow up with a question?
Absolutely.
If the child's located and the parent doesn't want the kid back in school because the kid decided not to, what, to go to school and he or she's 15, what happens?
If the parent chooses not to have their child in school and educate elsewhere.
Not even educate, just, you know, kids at home, 15. Does any law enforcement, anything?
No. I mean, there's, you could report if you felt that the child is being harmed. We have the Office of Child Services.
Just the child doesn't want to go to school no more, and no harm done, and just doesn't want to go to school, and the parent agrees with it. Is there anything that
it is the parent who is that choice? Yes, if the parent says I'm taking care of this business at home, it's the parent's choice by law.
So nothing's done really. No truancy, no pulling back school, no issue.
No.
Yeah. Member Walton.
It can be brought as an issue of education neglect. I don't know that we're doing that because there's so much other abuse going on that we're trying to take care of. One of the reasons that this has come up, and again, I just giving some intent background, while I have been told over and over again that you can't force kids to go to school, especially once they're teenagers, you can't force them. I still think that it makes a statement for a change of culture that we need to make sure that our students are prepared and that a change of culture, you know, we can look at biblical references. It takes 40 years. We got to wander in the desert for 40 years or whatever to change the culture. I believe that if we don't make a change, we're going to continue. People left school in the eighth grade if they were 16 years old 40 years ago. We can't do that today. We really, really need to make sure our students are educated and that a person who's on their own at 16, some may actually have the skills and have the maturity, but I haven't seen it. And I believe that we really need to make the statement that we want our children educated, and I would like to move the age on up. But at this time, public education goes through the 12th grade. I would love to see public education go through 21 or 22, but and that would be 4 years of college or trade school or whatever. But I will say 18, I really believe that I support this, and I know I'm probably an outlier, but I believe that it's necessary to change culture, and just to make the statement helps.
Thank you. Other members of the board. Member Lacey.
Well, this gets into that same issue of the government telling me what to do. If I don't want my kid in your school, some government bureaucrat shouldn't be telling me that I should. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And somebody, the parent, the child, if they fail, then that's their problem. It's not mine. So this is another case of government intrusion in my back pocket.
Member Powser, then Larson.
I don't think moving the age is going to help us much, first of all, since we don't have truancy enforcement or anything. But I think what we're all about here is trying to make school attractive and school interesting and keeping students in school because they want to be there rather than passing a law that says they have to.
Member Larson.
Yeah, I tend to agree. The problem with the 14, 15, 16-year-olds that drop out of school, a lot of times to get into trouble, and I'll see them on my other board, and that's heartbreaking. It really is. But if you got no way to enforce a rule or regulation now, it doesn't make any sense to extend the age further up, and it just doesn't make any sense at all. I think there's an underlying issue why a lot of these kids are going out of school and why they're dropping out, and I think we have put into effect a lot of our counselors and things like that to try to find out and follow up, trying to find out why and if we can get them back and make the school more attractive. I think that's the key element there, not the age.
Anyone left? Anyone want to comment before we move on here? Okay, just very quickly. I agree that I am very hopeful that this district is actually working on making its programs engaging, enticing. And once again, so these resolutions are not necessary because, I believe that they are indicative of a system in stress, a desperate system, looking for any way possible to hang on to the kids. And for the first time, I have to say, in all the years I've been in education, this is the first time I ever felt like Ole, Member Larson. I feel like I am on a parole board, that I am, in fact, a board member of an institution keeping people from escaping. It's just dawned on me that they're running for the doors, and instead of saying, why are you running, we're blocking the doors, and we're coming up with more doors. It doesn't make any sense at all. And these are individuals that have not been convicted of crimes or done anything wrong. They're kids. So I'm very happy this district is really working on ways to become more engaging and entice kids to stay. But the logic behind some of these resolutions to me just it's befuddling. If a kid is 16 and doesn't want to go to school, we'll fix it. We'll make them stay till they're 18. It's amazing. Anyway, obviously I'll be voting no on this for a whole number of reasons that I don't have enough time to get into. So with that, a no vote means that we do not support this as a board. A yes vote means that we will. So let us vote. Vote is 6-1. This board does not support this resolution. This takes us to page 18, 2.14, pupil transportation. Is there a motion to move this item to the floor? Is there a motion to move this item to the floor?
I'd like to move item 2.14, pupil transportation. I want to read the rest so everybody knows what we're talking about. AASB urges the state of Alaska to fully fund pupil transportation to keep up with recent increases in fuel and other operating costs and provide funding for districts with increased transportation needs due to special circumstances and or student growth. Getting students safely to and from school is a vital part of public education. AASB supports the revision of AS 14.09.010 to remove the cap and provide adjustments to the transportation grant program reflective of transportation mandates and operating expenses. We pulled this one because this is a major issue for our school district this year.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Member Larson. Motion is on the floor for discussion. Is there a committee member that would like to lead any discussion on this? Member Welton.
Looking at the comments from the administration, do we wish to amend that resolution if we vote for it? Do we wish to amend the resolution to discuss the reimbursement would be more beneficial?
Member Welton, if we can entertain a comment from our superintendent on this.
Thank you. And this comment of direct reimbursement is in reference to the manner in which you get your pupil transportation monies. So essentially, they're really saying the same thing. 2.14 pupil transportation says they want to be fully funded. What we're saying is fund it for exact costs, which really is the same thing, but the way that it's calculated is that they pre-select an amount that they're going to give you, and you have to kind of balance and kind of guess whether you're going to be in that amount. Direct reimbursement is simply that we'll give them our bill to say this is how much we spent. But essentially, it really is saying pay for the whole thing. So, I mean, it's splitting hairs, but we wanted to make that note to pay exactly what it was.
Member Powger?
We can take that and rewrite it and submit this as an instead of 2.14.
Member Welton?
The last part of it does say to remove the cap and provide adjustments to transportation grant program reflective of transportation mandates and operating expenses. Would that not meet the same thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So I think it's there.
It's just clarified. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so seeing no more discussion on this item, a yes vote would be to support this item. A no vote would be to not support this item. So let us vote. Passes unanimously. Thank you. Next item is page 21, 2.24, forward funding. Is there an individual, or excuse me, is there a board member that would like to move this item?
Would like to move 2.24 forward funding.
A motion moved by Member Cordero.
Second.
Second by Member Larson. Committee member, please take the lead. Thank you. Member Gaddis.
Well, I think forward funding, so that we can do proper fiscal planning, it's a no-brainer that we would request and desire forward funding. Businesses can't operate. I find it amazing how schools can function, and we're always in flux at the end of the year and figuring out what to do next. So I would like to think that we'll probably have very little discussion, because I think forward funding is a wise thing to do.
Is there really any questions at this point for this item? Seeing none, a yes vote would be to support this. A no would be to not. Let us vote. Passes unanimously. Thank you. This takes us on to the next item, which is page 33, 4.3, tiered licensure. Is there a motion to move this item, please?
I will move item 4.3, tiered licensure. Give me a second to find it so I can read it. And I'll second. AASB urges the State Board of Education and Early Development to reconsider its regulations for tiered licensure to take into account costs, both money and effort, as well as effects on recruitment and actual improvement in teacher quality generated.
Motion has been made by Member Welton and seconded by Member Powger. Committee members, if you wish to continue with the discussion, Member Welton.
My concern with this is that when it was first instituted, the tiered licensure had a lot of hoops to jump through, and they were difficult. They've been revised, and this does sunset in 2012. I don't know what is the cost now, and is it much more than what used to be in place? What used to be in place before this? Because I knew about the tiered licensure, but I didn't know what hoops had been removed.
Are you asking administration a question?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Okay. There was the hoops of the videotaping and all that kind of thing were removed. How much is the cost, and does it actually help make the teachers better teachers?
Superintendent?
For the tiered licensure.
The item that was controversial had been removed. It was the tapes. And the tiered licensure now is relatively similar to how it was in the past. And the cost increases with the increase in cost anywhere, but it's to fund the PTPC and other. So it's a reasonable cost for a license.
So AASB's concerns have been pretty much taken care of, you think?
Through the president, yes.
Okay.
The filming was removed.
Okay. Any other questions on this issue? So a yes vote would be to support. I'm sorry, Member Larson.
So are they talking about going back to what we were before this, or what's – I'm a little confused on this whole thing, to tell you the truth.
This is actually a resolution whose time has passed. In other words, the department has moved beyond this. There used to be a videotaping process and so forth. They don't do that anymore. So this is not to ask to go back to that. This was asking to kind of make that easier, and the department already has. It's never been taken off. There's 100 and some resolutions in here, and it's just go ahead, Member Welton.
My reason was to just take it off, get it gone. Why I was bringing it up is to get it not here if it's no longer needed, just to try to get rid of one more hoop or thing, a huge packet.
Member Gaddis.
Well, I think when we first discussed it, I didn't know enough about it. Member Welton thought that they were still videotaping, and she had her issues with that. She's found out that that's not the case. So, quite frankly, it's a non-issue.
Right.
I don't know how to take it off. How to take it off of anything we vote yes or no. So I suspect we just vote it down.
We voted down if we want it. Yeah. We want to make the statement to AASB that it needs to be deleted.
Yeah, and our conversation here in the public will also be part of the record. So, basically, it's a non-issue. And so, a no vote would be we just vote it down. Any other questions on this issue? Okay, so a no vote is we vote it down. A yes vote is we support it. Let us vote. It's unanimous. No. This takes us down to the last item, second last item, actually, because we'd have to return to the main resolution body, which we'll discuss here momentarily. Page 41, 5.15, relating to post-secondary classes for secondary students. Is there a motion to move this item? Member Gaddis.
I'd like to make a motion to move relating to post-secondary classes for secondary students. And essentially what this resolution says that they do not want it to be a mandated expense by the school district. And I would like to see if we could make an amendment and make our own resolution. Quite frankly, my thinking is this. Rather than be it mandated that the school district pay, I would certainly like to see if the state of Alaska would pay us for each of those college courses that our students took.
So there's a motion is made by Member Gaddis. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Member Larson. So it's open for discussion. I think if we just take a second and go to page 41. And just take a moment to read that, and then we'll have committee members weigh in. Member Welton?
And just that the last sentence is, the state should fund appropriate secondary vocational or college courses for high school students. And that would be that it's there.
You're right.
So this is one that AASB has that I wanted brought forth so that we could, say, yes, this is definitely something that we want them to look at more. I mean, it's in the packet, but I want it to be more central.
And if I might, Mr. President?
Yes.
In 5.15, it says the state should fund appropriate post-secondary vocational or college courses for high school students. And I guess my point in making an amendment from the Mat-Su School District is to indicate that even though they should, I wanted to say something to the effect that our students, that they will, or shall. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for.
So Member Gaddis would like to make an amendment to this item. And the amendment, the wording of the amendment would be what? Say it again with the shall, please. Read it, please.
Rather than the state would fund appropriate post-secondary, the state shall fund appropriate post-secondary vocational or college courses for high school students.
So striking should, adding shall, which would then, if we were to pass that amendment and then pass the entire, support the entire resolution, it would be a... It would be a mandatory issue for the state to find the funds to support or fund post-secondary vocational. The only issue with that, it's kind of procedural, and Member Welton can help with this. we're asking to amend an AASB resolution. Mm-hmm. We can do that, but I'm not sure if that's how much play that's going to get with the large organization.
Done it before.
Yep. So anyway, there's a motion. There's an amendment on the floor. Is there Member Gaddis has made a motion. Is there a second to support this motion, this amendment?
Second.
Second by Member Larson. Is there any comment or question on the amendment? Let us vote on the amendment, and the amendment would say the state shall fund appropriate post-secondary vocational or college courses for high school. Let us vote. A yes would support that amendment. The amendment passes unanimously. This takes us back to the main body. And Member Larson? Main motion. Member Larson?
Yes, I'm looking. The state would fund appropriate post-secondary vocational college courses for high school students. Would that be separate from the allocated? How is that? Is that wording good enough to say that's separate from the regular education allocation?
That's my take on it.
Okay.
So we're back to the main body. Now, if we vote yes on the main body with the amendment is passed, then I think it gets us where this it sounds like the school board wants us to go. So a yes vote would be to support this. Are we ready to vote? Let us vote. The item passes unanimously. We're going to take a brief recess before we return to the other issue involving the resolutions. We're back in session. There is an issue still out there regarding the main concept of the resolution. So there was a discussion that occurred in the early part of the overall resolution discussion in which there was some confusion that we need to deal with, and that was if items that were not pulled, there were certain members of the school board that believed that we endorsed those items by not acting upon them. Other board members felt that because those items were not pulled, we were not going to take a position on the remaining items. And so we're going to have to deal with that issue. What I would do is limit us, I would ask that we, unanimous consent, that we limit ourselves to 3 minutes on trying to work through this issue each. And then we can do a motion and then vote on it. So, for example, we would do a motion, we would make a motion that a yes vote would be that we support all of those items that we did not discuss. A no vote would be that we do not support those items that were not discussed. But let's open this up for 3 minutes, and then we'll need somebody to make the motion so we can put it on the floor. So help me out here. Yes.
I'd like to make a motion to take the AASB resolutions that we did not discuss and bring them to the floor to discuss whether to vote the remainder resolutions up or down.
Is it a Member Welton?
I'd like to make an amendment to that. No. It's a
we have to second this and bring it to the floor.
Okay.
Are you seconding it, Member
Welton? Is there
a second? Seconded by Member Cordero. Motion is on the floor, open for discussion. Member Welton.
I'd be willing to just make a motion that just says that we have that the ones that we've pulled are the ones that are of interest and that we don't have a position on the rest.
Okay, but we have a motion on the floor that
I'd be willing to fix that if they wanted to, if that's what other people would like to.
Member Gaddis.
Well, frankly, I'm thinking that's what the motion says. The same thing that
we just didn't take a position as
that's
a
correct.
Board.
So
I would like to make the
I'm
the
thinking that a
statement.
Vote no means that we will not push it forward as part of our agenda, but we won't say that we're against. We're just we're not going to deal with the rest of it.
Member Welton.
I'd like for the actual motion to say something that we did not take a position on the rest of the motion, the rest of the resolutions. As a board.
Member Welton has made a motion that's been...
As an amendment to hers.
You would like to make an amendment to that motion. So please go ahead and word it once again.
That the board, I move that the board, I don't know how to do it now. Sorry.
That's a brief recess. Back in session. Member Welton?
I would like to request that the previous motion be pulled. Does the maker agree to that?
So as the maker of that motion, I'd like to pull my motion and
second
hope that the person that seconded it will also pull their second. Thank you.
Okay.
Member Welton?
Okay. I move to make a motion that the board does not take a position on the resolutions that were not pulled.
Second.
Motion made by Member Welton, seconded by Member Cordero. Member Welton, please read that one more time for the record.
I move to make a motion that the board does not take a position on the resolutions that were not pulled.
So a yes vote would mean that we take no position on the remaining resolutions. A no vote would be obviously not. So let us vote. Yes, it's unanimous. This board does not take a position on the remaining motions. This has us going now to the next item, thank you, which is item D, and that is 12-028 AASB Youth Leadership Institute. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak upon this item? Seeing none, is there a staff report?
We are prepared to answer questions.
Let us make a motion to bring it to the floor.
I move 12-028 AASB Youth Leadership Institute.
Motion made by Member Cordero. Is there a second?
A second.
Second by Member Powager. Are there questions of staff by members of the board regarding this item? Seeing none, are there comments from members of the board regarding this item? Member Lacey.
I think these types of things are some of the neatest things that our children do, but I also want to point out that I want to fund this, but I'd like to fund the other things that come in front of us, too, so in the future. So it's a past practice.
Thank you. Member Welton.
I'd like to say that all the students who have been able to go to the AASB conferences have gained so much and learned so much, and I do believe that it's well worth the time and money.
Member Pauger.
And I agree with Ms. Welton, and I'll be voting yes on this.
Member Mitchell.
I just want to say that we talked about this at SAB today, and everyone is really excited about the conference. And from past students who have gone, it sounds similar to OSOG, which is very enriching to leadership skills, and that everyone's really excited about it for this year.
Thank you. Any other comments from members of the board? The only comment I have is I, too, think it's a terrific thing. And that's it. Okay. So with that, there's a motion on the floor. A yes vote supports this. A no does not. Let's vote. It's unanimous, yes. This takes us to the next item. E, 12-029, permission to accept and expend a grant, Title I, Part D. Are there members of the public that would like to speak upon this item? Seeing none, is there a staff report?
No, sir.
Are there any questions of staff by members of the board? Seeing none, can we make a motion to bring this to the floor?
I make a motion that we bring to the floor 12-029.
Member moved by Member Lacey. Is there a second? Second by Member Powager. Motion's on the floor. Any questions, again, from members of the board or comment? Seeing none, let's vote. Item passes. It's unanimous. This takes us to 9, non-action items. This is an item that will be up for discussion today and in our following meeting for actual action. A12-030, Resolution 12-002, Land Transfer for New Wasilla Library. Are there members of the public that would like to speak upon this item? We already had one member of the public speak. Please come forward and state your name for the record.
My name is Jeannie Trushinsky, and my other hat that I wear is I am president of the Friends of Wasilla Library. Wasilla Library was built, the current library was built in 1978, and it was identified as too small in 1986. Many people have worked for years to try and get a new library built. In the last few years, we've made a lot of progress, but the one really big thing that's holding us back is getting the land identified, and we have an opportunity to apply to the state for 50% of the funding through a state grant that's available, and so having the land identified will really move us up on the matrix with the legislature, and so we're really hopeful that this resolution can get passed and we get that land identified and we'd be eligible for the grant, which would be huge. So thank you very much for considering the resolution.
Thank you. Any questions for members of the Member Larson.
We vote on this in a month, and I would hope that when this comes up in front of us, we can find, at least have an aerial to see where these 4 acres are. I have no idea. I know they're attached somewhere. But is it in the sand pit down there or what? You know?
The
Member Lacey.
From what I understand, where CarQuest and Napa is in Wasilla, it's right directly across the street in that fenced-off area. It's Wasilla Middle School.
So Member Larson's asking of administration to provide an aerial if possible and any additional information to help him make a decision.
Well, yeah, and kind of like where the building would be located, parking, access, you know, this kind of, you know, some sort of a plan. Thank you.
Member Walton.
I do know that it's Cruzy and Swanson there. Mr. Cottle kept talking about $14 million, and I don't know what he's talking about. Is that the cost of the building? Is that the cost of if they needed to buy land, that's what it would cost? That doesn't make sense to me, but I didn't know what that number came from.
So I'm going to assume that's couched to a question to administration. Superintendent Parma?
May not have anything to do with us at all. It says zero cost here, but he kept saying it, so...
The $14 million is the Friends of the Library is requesting that with the city, and they'll take care of that. It's no cost to Mat-Su Borough School District. However, it is borough land.
Mm-hmm. Is it $14 million for the land?
No.
And the building?
No. The land would be free because it's already owned.
It would be free just transferred over.
Member Gaddis.
To piggyback on Member Larson's question, did we have plans as the school district for what we might use or what we possibly could use that land for in the future? I'm not sure what those plans are. And then, on another question, what is the advantage or disadvantage of having a library? I mean, it seems obvious, but if we could find out having a library close to our middle school, and certainly the design, I'm making an assumption, and you know what happens, but... Will that library be a middle school library? How do we plan, and how do they plan on working? So I don't think that we have enough information really to determine, you know, if it's pro or con. But I think that they can get that to us.
Question I have is: this is a what appear to me to be a borough issue and a city issue. Superintendent Parma, what is our involvement in this?
Our involvement with this is to basically provide our goodwill that it is unused land. It's wooded area now. It is at the corner in which Member Welton mentioned. And the educational benefits would be it is a public library. It would just basically be located adjacent to Wasilla Middle School.
So it was designated, I'm assuming it was designated at one time, school for the school district.
Yes, when we build schools and certain sizes, we have to build them with so much land around them. So it's unused wooded area currently.
Thank you. Member Larson.
I guess that's the point I was going to bring up. On the school site committee, we're looking at a new middle school, high school, and elementary, and you have to have X amount of land around you. I assume that Wasilla Middle School and one middle high school are kind of a one joint district or one joint school, similar to Colony High and Colony Middle, on the same piece of property. So the 4 acres won't detract from the amount of land for the two schools. And that's the kind of question that needs to be answered, probably. Thank you.
Thanks for shedding a little more light on it. Seriously, even though school district has really no ownership over land or buildings, that is the borough again, I think what I'm hearing is, would a library, what does it look like? Where are the access points? Would it impact the program of the schools nearby? So, I mean, I think that's a legitimate question and a legitimate issue for the board to look at. So any additional information we could get, if there's any concepts, there's any projected or planned designs, it just gives us a little bit more information to make a decision to support or not to support. So appreciate that. Is that another question? Okay. So with that, this will come before us, and we'll get some information before then. This takes us down to item 10, future items, future. Member Larson.
Could I ask for just a two-minute break? I want to clarify a vote with Dr. Paramo on an issue I didn't bring up during the vote, and I just want to make sure I'm clear on it.
Is that breathe at ease.
Thank you.
We're going to go back in session. Recess is over. This takes us down to item 10, future items, future business. October 4th, 2011, school board borough elections. Don't forget to vote. There is absentee voting and there's early voting, and your vote counts. October 19th, 2011, 6 p.m. regular school board meeting, Palmer High Upper Library. October 26th, 2011, 5 to 7 p.m., meet with MATSU Legislative Delegation, MATSU Central School. November 2nd, 2011, 6 p.m., regular school board meeting, Palmer High School, Upper Library. November 3rd through 6th, 2011, AASB Annual Conference, Anchorage Hilton Hotel. Yes, and we are going to shoot for November to move our meeting after the election, where we usually have it here. We're gonna shoot for one of the other sites, and we'll start with a conversation with Butte Elementary, which we have not had a meeting there in some time at Butte. Okay. Are there? I'm going to pass around the ASB information.
It's in our packet.
It's in the packet.
Is additional information. Yeah. Member Gaddis.
Just a quick comment on future items. I found out today that the next school site selection committee meeting will be on October 5th, and to be announced where. So.
Member Larson, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I won't be able to attend that, so I'm going to ask Member Welton to go to that. If I'll be out of state. I'll be in Colorado.
I'll be out of state also.
Member Gaddis can handle it, I'm sure. Member Paulger.
I wanted to request a couple future items. I'd like to know where we are on our busing contract, and I got quite a few letters on busing issues. So I'd like a report. It doesn't matter to me if it's part of administrative report or if it's a written report in our reading file. I'd just like to be updated. Also, I'd like to know where we are on our money split with the borough. How did the year end? What are we giving back?
Any other items, members of the board? Member Gaddis.
And this is fine with on Board Connect or whatever like that, but I'd like an update on Advance Path and how we're doing there.
Do you want that in the as a reading report first? And if you need more information, we can put it on later as an administrative report.
That's good.
Okay. And I would ask administration to just make sure you touch base with the board members to get exactly what they're looking for. Do you have a question, Member Lacey? Okay. So with that, we're down to item 11, which is our last section on persons to be heard on non-agenda items. Once again, I'll read the guidelines. The speaker states his or her name for the record. The speaker is limited to 3 minutes per meeting. The speaker is limited to non-agenda items. Agenda items will be open for public comment as they appear on the agenda. The speaker's comments should be appropriate for all audiences, including school-aged children. The speaker is limited to comments of a general nature, positive or negative, which may not be attributable to any specific individual. Issues involving concerns specific to any individual should be submitted in writing and given to the board clerk to be resolved. The issue may be determined to be appropriate for persons to be heard or may be handled in executive session or may be routed through a more appropriate complaint process. No disturbance or willful interruption of any board meeting shall be permitted. Persistence by an individual or group shall be grounds for the chair to terminate the privilege of addressing the meeting. The board may remove disruptive individuals and order the room cleared if necessary. This is not a question and answer time. Speakers may be referred to the superintendent or designee or take the issue under advisement. Maximum of 1 hour per meeting. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak on any non-agenda items at this time? Please come forward, state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. President. My name is Mike Malevsky, and I'd like to say just a few words to update you on our progress with Radio Free Palmer, affectionately known as Big Cabbage Radio. I can tell you that as of Sunday, we have a broadcast signal that's emanating from our tower in a little hill in Sutton, and it's broadcasting on 89.5. And what we've asked throughout Facebook and our website is that if you're driving around and you don't have anything else you can do, if you turn your radio to 89.5 and just check and see what kind of reception you're getting, that would be helpful to us. Had reports coming in from Farm Loop, over Wolverine Road across the river, et cetera. And that's we're essentially tuning our broadcast signal. And this morning I had a conversation with a lady in FCC in Washington, D.C., and our transfer request for taking over the translator on Lazy Mountain has been approved. So over the next few days we'll be working to get that up as well. So sometime next week we'll be asking people to continue to do this, only more focused on the Palmer and Wasilla area. This is a big thing for us. And it's also, I would submit, a big thing for not only the school district but the community. Tomorrow I'll be working with some students who are in the care of Emily Forstner over at Wasilla Middle School. The students are involved with the Frontiersmen, and we have a cooperative effort with the Frontiersmen in training students, and you'll be benefiting from that because it'll be covering a number of events and subjects in the valley, including the school district and its operation. So I just wanted to let you know that's moving along, and we'll be under discussion as far as how we may further serve other than just streaming these meetings. Thank you.
Thank you. This takes us down to item 12, comments from school board and administration. Dr. Paramo.
Mr. Stone, do you have any?
Really, the only thing that I wanted to make mention of tonight was just this continuous discussion of 7 period. I know that was one of the concerns that Ms. Mitchell here, Representative Mitchell, had mentioned. But just wanted to let folks know that it's something that we've given quite a bit of attention to here as of late. We just met with all principals. High school principals on Monday. I guess probably what I want to express mostly is that, and as we've shared with principals, is that as this message goes out, we get a little bit concerned when we feel like it's really just both sides of the story aren't presented. And so would like to urge everybody is that everybody is people get emotional about things and that they really don't proceed with both sides of what's going on. So,
Superintendent Paramo?
Yes, thank you. Lastly, I'd like to present to the board a gift from Fireside Books. They have provided each board member with the book entitled Wi-Fi and the Bad Boys of Radio, Dawn of a Wireless Technology. It's by Alex Hills. Mr. Hills is a Palmer resident who led the team at Carnegie Mellon University that invented Wi-Fi. Mr. Hills learned a lot about radio transmissions from the work he did in Bush, Alaska. The books are signed and are a gift from you from Fireside.
Thank you.
I'm cool.
Member Larson, comments.
I was asking what Wi-Fi was, but I'll learn.
Ay, ay, ay.
Hey, I just got an iPod phone, and I got some help learning that one, too. And that wasn't by choice. That was forced upon me by my other committee or my other board because I wasn't in contact with anybody. I'm coming up on technology, and I'm learning a lot. And I think what I also want to know, and I should have thrown this, is where we are in technology with the backbone going in, when that's going to happen, and that kind of whole segment. I'd like to. I'm pretty excited about that. Excellent. We had, I guess it's a lunch, a school lunch tonight, and it was excellent. So I will be going to a few of the schools to have lunch to see where the bad lunches are, you know. But this one was excellent, and I appreciate that brought to us. And I think when we're, as a board, fed in the future, on occasion, that same thing will happen. Whatever the lunch is of that day, I'll bring it to the board. If it's good for kids, it's got to be good for the board, too.
Thank you. Member Gaddis.
Yes, I'd like to make a comment about the seven-period day. I have gotten calls and friends have contacted me, and I know we sat here at this board and we were not too nice with Colony High, and I want to let you know that I did have some friends from Colony High on the seventh day period, and I was really amazed with not only what the Colony High principal did, but the counselors in regards to giving options. And quite frankly, a parent had heard that their kid, who was an A student, high academic, had to take all seven periods and also was involved with the sports and just couldn't keep up anymore, was just about ready to burn out. And there were options and there were classes that they could take. I don't think they call them study hall, but essentially that. That allows them the downtime. So the seven period classes have kind of a bad rap, but I think the schools are and the principals are getting their head around it, that there are options. So I could see us through transition. I think we're doing a good job.
Thank you. Member Pollager.
No comments.
Thank you. Member Cordero.
Benito Juarez, who was president of Mexico once and who had the provisional Mexican government in New Orleans while there was Mexico was being conquered by France, once said, "El derecho al respeto ajeno es la paz," which means respecting the rights of others is peace. And I think those are very wise words. And I want to say that we can sometimes disagree on issues, but we respect each other's views. And I'm always very proud that we can continue to move forward even when we have disagreements, because we respect each other and we value each other's views. Elections are coming up, and so I might come back, I might not come back, but just wanted to thank all of you for serving and for always taking care of kids. And I want to thank you all because I've learned from each one of you. So, thanks.
Thank you. Member Lacey.
Yes, first off, I would like to thank Dr. Perrimo for making sure that we had school lunches to eat. I'd like to eat school lunches at every meeting. There's a variety of things that we eat, feed our kids, and I'd like to know what they're eating. Second of all, I have some concerns about the seven-period day, and I've expressed those with Dr. Perrimo, and I'm willing to give this whole thing a chance to play out, and I think we're working the bugs out of it. Lastly, I'm on the after-school activities committee, and last week we had a meeting. One of the things we're working on is a government-private industry partnership with taking kids after school over to the sports center, the AT&T Sports Center, have our buses take them over there. They're going to have, as near as we can tell, about a 2.5-hour program to where the kids will go in and exercise and do court sports. And then, and this is what I thought was really interesting, is we're going to move a portable over there. So those kids will be two different groups of kids. One will be in there studying, and the other group will be in there doing court sports. Now, the nice thing about this is we have two teachers that work there for the AT&T Sports Center, and they are going to be the education monitors slash mentors for our children. And Ken Forrest, the amazing guy that he is, he says, you know, once this happens, we need to make sure that we track these kids to see how they're doing in the system, because I believe they're going to go right through the ceiling as far as their learning is concerned. Now, the owner of the sports center says, what else would a parent want? For their kid to come home with their homework done and to be tired. So this is one thing that we're doing, and there's going to be more things to follow. The idea is to get as many kids involved in after-school activities, because that's when an idle mind is the devil's workshop, things happen. So in that note, thank you.
Thank you. Member Welton.
Thank Eric for his mention of peace. Today is the International Day of Peace. It is a celebration internationally around the world for peace. I went to the Meadow Lakes Community Council, their regular community council meeting, and Mr. Halter was there as well. We were asked questions about the bonds. I gave out the factual information from the website, talked about, just answered questions that people had concerning the factual information. I also was invited to a forum up in Talkeetna, and this was a one where I could provide my own ideas as well as the school district's information. And there were about 30 to 40 people there. It was kind of interesting because it was at the brew house, and they gave me a microphone, so it was not just people who were invited to this. There was a lot of other people. And there's interest in the bonds. Good questions out there. Also, Justice Coalition was this morning, and Mr. McPhail attended, and he talked about the activities, issues, and things going on with the AT&T Sports Center and the Menard Center. Let's see, American Academy Charter, Neil and I were both there for their open house, and in their elementary school age group, second through eighth grade, they have more students than they thought they were going to have. So it looks like it's a really good situation going on there. Also, I think that's it. I was somewhere else this week, but I don't have it on my listing here. There was one other thing. I have. I teach at the college, and several of my students are returning students, and their children have been in Advanced Path, and they praise it. They say it's fantastic. So that was a good thing.
Thank you. Member Mitchell.
I just wanted to say that I'm thankful that Member Powger asked for the bus report. There were some concerns voiced today at our meeting about bus and times and when the buses are arriving, and so I'll be looking forward to hearing that next time we meet.
Thank you. And we look forward to having you on the board. Member Lacey, did you want to add something? Okay. I'll just make a brief comment, if it's all right with the board. The elections are coming up. Member Cordero and others, including myself, have expressed concern over the last several election cycles that the percentage of registered voters is extremely low. And it's problematic for everybody. You got to remember, you get what you either vote for or don't vote for. And it is a democracy, and it's a republic, but nonetheless, you get a vote, you get a say. And I would just urge everybody to take on that responsibility and obligation and exercise your right to determine who your representatives are going to be or to weigh in on the bonds as well. So please make that a priority on that day or before then to go out and vote. So with that, I don't think there's a need for an executive session. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion that we adjourn this meeting.
Motion made by Member Lacey. Is there a second? Seconded by Member Pollinger. Seeing no dissent, this meeting is over. Thank you.